Good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable panel on this Wednesday morning, the 14th of June. Very nice to have you with us. Let me introduce our panel, and then we'll get to talking about there's breaking news, obviously, out of Washington, actually out of Alexandria, Virginia, where a congressman is hit in a multiple shooting. Steve Scalise, the House Majority Whip, was shot at a baseball field. So we'll be talking about that story and bringing you up to date as new details come in throughout the morning. But obviously, we have a lot of other things to discuss, as well as Jeff Sessions held a hearing yesterday, and we covered that here on WAMC, and certainly a lot to talk about in regards to that as well. Let me introduce the panel to you. WAMC's Alan Shartok is here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to everyone. How'd you do? How'd you do? How's your mother? How's your brother? How are you?
You're rocking an Elvis shirt. I like it.
Yeah.
Love me tender.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't want to rap about your Elvis shirt?
No. As you know, Roselle's writing a book about Elvis. So we went down to Memphis and I bought this book. I bought this t-shirt with Elvis on it. It's quite something.
Yeah, it's very nice.
It's one of the young, thinner Elvises. Yeah.
Yes.
She's writing a book about Elvis?
She's writing a book about Elvis.
And the Jewish community.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, we're not allowed to. All right.
You can do anything you want. I don't
know. Let me just tell you about my, here's my sad tale of woe. So last night we had a panel member who couldn't join us, and so then I had to find a replacement. And I went into my trusty Rolodex, and I put out about 18 calls. And I woke up this morning, and no one had responded.
Really, Joe?
So
you're losing your touch.
So I, many people had responded. They just responded to the negative, which was like Judy Patrick's great response was, unfortunately, I'm stuck in the Chicago airport. I would much rather be with you.
That was nice.
I sent out my last lifeline to Mike Spain at 7 in the morning, and he responded in seconds and said, I will be there. And here you are. So, Mike Spain, thank you very much.
I'm happy to be here, Joe.
Well, I know, but I thank you very much. It just means a lot that you're
thank you. That's awfully nice. Thank you.
That you're here. Teresa Bourgeois, I never worried about you because you were supposed to be here, but thank you very much, our communications consultant. By the way, Mike is the associate editor of the Times Union, so he has a real job, so he should be doing that, but he's here instead.
Wait, in the midst of breaking.
Luckily, I have a boss who's very accommodating when it comes to WAMC.
We
so
know,
okay,
and he has a starring role at WAMC on the media project.
Who is that?
Yes, who is that?
Who are we talking about?
All right, so welcome everyone, and we welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. So this story is not very old about the congressman being hit in the multiple shooting, Steve Scalise, the House Majority Whip. The shooting was at a baseball field in Alexandria, Virginia, where members of a congressional team regularly practice, left at least 5 injured, according to an official. The police said on Twitter that a suspect was in custody. The details are coming in at the moment, and there have been a lot of reports from the various congressional members and House and Senate members who were there, both congressional representatives and senators, as well as their staff.
And where was there again?
There.
It's in Virginia.
It's in Alexandria, Virginia, at a baseball field.
But what was it? Was it an intramural or something like that? Or
yes, yeah. Explain, Teresa. Since you have played in
played in these games many, many years ago. So congressional softball is a big deal in Washington, and they have a big game every year, the Democrats against the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
And so that game is, I believe, tomorrow night. They play it at Nats Field. It's a big charity
fundraiser.
So this
is a practice?
So they were a Republican team getting together and practicing. So it was members of Congress and some of their staffs. And one of the members of Congress, the person who was shot, reportedly he has a protective detail, and it sounds like 2 members of his protective detail were shot, as well as him and then some of the staff.
And what was your a major question? What was your position?
I played shortstop in center field.
So the congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Actually, we had the winning team.
Oh, did the Democrats win more than the Republicans in your
time? Well, sorry, I'm mixing apples and oranges here. So
back in the day.
There's there are leagues that go on all the time.
Yes.
And then
there's the
big game.
Which is what they were getting ready for.
So they were getting ready for the big game.
Which is tomorrow night, right?
Right, right.
Do you actually ever get to the World Series of softball?
When I was in the big game, it wasn't in that stadium for sure. Well, first of all, there wasn't in that stadium.
Right.
But yeah, it wasn't as big as it is now. It's gotten bigger and bigger.
And girls and boys were all allowed to play.
Absolutely, yeah. And I also, there was a touch football team that I played in. Yeah.
Very Kennedy.
So these, very Kennedy.
But these are very.
They're part of the
friendly.
Culture.
It's very softball. This softball game. This is very, very much a part of the Washington culture. In fact, you could go to Washington on the mall any evening, and you might see 8 or 10 games up and down the mall going on, and then in these various parks in Anacostia, there's 4 or 5 of the games going on. It's very much a part of the Washington Hill culture.
Two officers who were shot, those Capitol Police officers apparently were in a security detail for Steve Scalise, who was the representative who was shot, we believe, in the leg. And then those officers who returned fire apparently were both shot as well. I think they're all, from my understanding, are all in stable condition. But we can assume that the security was there because it was the House Majority Whip, right?
Right. So they, for everything I know, is just what I've heard on the radio, obviously, and other places, but he has a regular detail. So there's nothing that I've heard so far that suggests that there was extra security because there was some threat. I mean, they said because of the routine detail that the leaders in the House and Senate have a security detail that travel with them. And it was reported that these people who were shot were part of his security.
So now we have to figure on what the motive was, right?
Right.
And people will be asking, was this somebody who was part of the Islamic State? Or others will be asking, is this somebody who wanted to get even for the terrible things that have been going on?
Or is this some sort of personal dispute? Because, of course, you had to had to have known that this practice session was going on. And where it was going on. I mean, that's the thing, that it had to be somebody who knew that they were getting together this
morning.
And
playing baseball at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Playing baseball early in the morning at a practice session at this field.
Although it could have been a crime of opportunity. Somebody
could
walks
have been somebody
by with a
walking
gun.
By with a gun.
And, you know, every time that somebody wants to get even with something that's being done politically, they only help the other side. You know what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
In other words, let's just say, how dare you take Medicare away, health care away from 25 million people? The sympathy is not going to be with you, the shooter. It's going to be on the other side.
Of course. And it's going to reignite the whole issue of semi-automatic weapons. Apparently, at least according to some of the reports I heard right after this broke, were that it sounded like a rapid fire, 16 rounds went off and quickly.
And 50
and
bullets.
The kind of thing that would happen from a semi-automatic rifle, which, Congress let the ban on those lapse several years ago, and it's central to the whole fight over what kinds of weapons individual citizens are allowed to have. The other question to me is if Steve Scalise, the deputy whip in the House of Representatives, did have his security detail with him because he ranked fairly high.
Right.
Were they going for him? Or was that just coincidental? And had he not been there, there may not have been anybody there to protect the other congressman, and this guy might have taken even more victims. It's just a frightening thing, and we don't know. I mean, that's speculation, but we just don't know. But it just shows you how vulnerable members of Congress are. They're just like regular folks out playing ball. They're seen. You run into them all over the Capitol, and this just adds another layer of security and another it's just tragically sad.
There was I was listening to a rather lengthy discussion this morning on I believe it was CNN. I was all over the place this morning, so I'm not exactly sure, but I believe it was CNN, and they were doing a report about the to your point, Mike, about the security for high-level members of Congress, and that there's a perimeter, and they're very clear on keeping that perimeter. Whether we see that in visiting the Capitol. They spent millions of dollars of building that new entrance to protect the members of Congress as well as the public and so forth of coming in and still being able to enjoy the Capitol while protecting members of the House and Senate. With that said, once you are out of that perimeter, and the case that they were saying is the best example is the Gabby Giffords case, where once you put somebody out of that and put them into, and this is some of the concern about the town hall meetings and so forth, that you put somebody out of that and into a setting, what is the security and at what point what is the safety of the House and Senate members?
Well, we know
Well as the people who are attending whatever event, of course.
Right. We know from the tragic situation with Congresswoman Gabby Giffords. You know, it's just you're out there, you're in public, you're vulnerable.
It's all very scary. I get a letter virtually every time I write a column from a gun guy who brings it home to me. And I frankly have forwarded them to the police in each case. So I don't know what else you can do. I mean, it's we walk out of this building and all the rest of that stuff. So
I'm of the belief that just too many guns in the hands of too many people.
Yeah, well, me too.
Particularly high-powered weapons.
I think that's why this gun guy writes me a letter every week.
High-powered weapons.
Because he knows where I feel.
I know. You know, I have friends who are, and I'm not against hunting. I'm against hunting people.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. As I said, we'll update the story as we get more information on it, and we will we're going to move on to some other topics. But and we'll be bringing you updates throughout the morning on the newscasts. So let's take a break. We'll come back and talk about other things. We have the Jeff Sessions hearing, of course, to talk about, and your letters, panel at wamc.org. We'll be back right after this. Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion, Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, and Teresa Bourgeois. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org, and Alan has a few before we move on to other topics.
I do, Joe. Thank you for reminding me. Good morning, panel. Terrible news out of Alexandria, but just curious, does anyone know what representatives vote on gun control, especially the vote after Sandy Hook shootings? For the most part, Teresa, you know, you're a ex-congressional staff person, but sure, people's votes are recorded.
Right. I mean, I could look up what Steve Scalise's vote is, but I can take a guess what it was.
I can too. Deputy Whip, Jackie says Sessions, like Trump, is the worst kind of hypocrite. His passionate protestations of innocence seem genuine. But remember when he expressed the same level of outrage when denying eyewitness reports of his racial slurs? He lies to everyone, including himself. Scary. And that, to me, is a profound point from Jackie.
Can I say something back about Steve Scalise? Regardless of what Steve Scalise's vote is on gun issues, this is a horrific thing that happened.
Nobody deserves to be shot.
I just want to make sure that I said was, back to the previous letter, that it wasn't misunderstood. Regardless of what the congressman's vote is on gun control, this is a horrific thing that these people were shot.
Well, I agree with you. Of course I agree with you. I think everybody in the room agrees with you that nobody deserves to get shot. Nevertheless, I don't think it's an irrelevant question when you say, okay, so now this terrible thing has happened, and are there thoughts of, you know, remorse going through somebody's head that I voted so that any, I'm not allowed to use the word crazy, I'm not allowed to use the word nut.
Irresponsible,
too little, too low.
With a psychic anomaly.
How about disturbed person?
I see.
And they'll put that on the list of politically incorrect things to say pretty
soon. A perfect case is James Brady, who was the press secretary to Ronald Reagan. And after he was shot, first his wife, in fact, I was involved in the first hearing where she testified when I was working for the House Crimes Judiciary Committee, Subcommittee on Crime. And they became very passionate on the gun issues.
Joan Brady or Jane Brady?
Sarah Brady.
My apologies.
So she spoke out publicly first, and then he eventually got involved as well, and then the famous Brady Bill and such. So people do have a change of heart when they have an experience.
Okay. I liked Jackie's point, which the letter I just read, which is denying eyewitness reports of his racial slurs. He lies to everyone, including himself. And that's the issue. I mean, here we keep seeing Trump day after day after day reversing himself. Some of us see these as lies. I do. Does he believe them? As we have often said, you put the lie detector on his arm and he says, no, I wasn't lying, and you get a straight line. That would be pretty scary, right? Okay. And Kathy says, okay, so let me make sure I understand this. Jeff Sessions, he can't recall, in quotes, at least 25 times yesterday. Jim Comey makes copious notes with details to the nth degree. Yet Comey's firing has nothing to do with Russia, but is because of his job performance. Okay. And that's from Kathy.
All right. We're going to go. We only have about 30 seconds or so. So we'll hold. And when we come back, we'll talk about the Jeff Sessions hearing and what was said and what wasn't said, which I guess is probably the bigger story of what wasn't said yesterday. We'll also go over to BBC News at the bottom of the hour and bring you up to date on what is happening. We'll be back right after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to the panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. And yep, you're all good. We just had a mic fitting. It's kind of like a dress fitting.
I'm too short. I needed a
different mic. Good. Everything's fine. Well, good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. As we mentioned before the break, we're obviously following the story of the Capitol officers shot in the attack and the congressman and an aide who were also shot in Alexandria, Virginia. Had that story at the bottom of the hour, and of course we'll be updating it as more information becomes available. In the meantime, we want to talk about what happened yesterday that we covered here, and that is the Jeff Sessions hearing and the highlights from that. Attorney General Jeff Sessions engaged in highly contentious testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee, with Democrats pressing him on his conversations with President Trump related to the investigation of Russian meddling in the 2016 election. He called any suggestion that he colluded with the Russians during the election an appalling lie. Please, colleagues, hear me on this, he said. After coming under fire for failing to disclose his interactions with the Russian ambassador during his confirmation hearing, Mr. Sessions was determined to provide his version of events, and he did not waste any time. I have never met with or had any conversations with any Russians or any foreign officials concerning any type of interference with any campaign or election in the United States, he said during his opening statement.
I know nothing.
Well, no. Look. We still know a couple of things. He either lied or was decisively unfactual when it came to his earlier testimony. So as I said yesterday, what are you going to say? You lied to us last time. Why do we expect to believe you this time? Everybody can make up their own mind. I don't. I think he was evasive. I think he tried his. I think he was insulting to Senator
Kamala Harris.
Kamala
Harris from Harris, California.
Yes. I think he was insulting to her. I think he was incredibly defensive when he said, "Colleagues, hear me." It was an invocation to the other people in the Senate from which he had come that they should treat him lightly because he was a senator. You know, our word is our bond and all like that. No, I thought he was terrible. And, you know, the fact of the matter is he didn't answer one question that they wanted him to answer. He said, oh, well, that's a presidential thing. And, Mike, you have a theory on that, right?
Well, when he was asked to divulge what he discussed with the president about this, he declined and said, but he did not invoke executive privilege. They pressed him on that, and he did not say it, but he held out the possibility that that might be invoked in the future, therefore, because it may potentially be part of privileged conversation, I'm not going to tell you what it is. So he's holding out that possibility. It's a little – but in reality, and Teresa, you well know the way all this works. from your experience. They get limited time. The senators have limited time to question the person, so they learn how to drag it out. And Kamala Harris of California, the senator from California, was a prosecutor in San Francisco, and she was very direct, and she was saying just a one-word answer, please. Just and he bristled and he said, "No, you're making me nervous. I don't want that, you know," and just dragged it out until her time was up. And then a friendly Republican senator would be there and just kind of ask softballs and marshmallow questions. And that's the practice. And he was able to get through the hearing without really saying a whole lot except to express his indignation that anyone would suggest that he would interfere and plot with the Russians. The real point, though, of the whole hearing was, did the Russians try to influence the election? Did they overstep? And what can we do to protect our democracy from that? And none of that got addressed.
I have to say, I found it riveting to listen to. I thought it was just riveting. The line, "I recuse myself from any investigation into the campaign for president. I did not recuse myself from defending my honor against scurrilous and false allegations," and he raged against the secret innuendo being leaked out there about me.
I wanted to throw my shoe at the television.
Right. I think there was a fair amount of theater displayed in that. And it was interesting to me what was said, what was not said, and also what was going on around the Capitol at the same time. I think that they really flooded the lane with activity, or, you know, some people call it taking out the trash. It's a phrase that when there's bad news that you want to, you know, get out there without much attention to you, you know, put it out at the end of a day just before a weekend or when something very busy is going on. So at the same time that this hearing was going on, they also had Secretary Mattis on the DOD budget. They had Secretary Tillerson on the State Department budget. They had the Rosenstein on the DOJ budget. There's all these other things and they had a cybersecurity hearing. They had all these different things that they really don't want a lot of scrutiny on. But to the hearing itself, I think if you're Republican, you're outraged because of all of these injustices against Sessions. If you're a Democrat, you're outraged because of Sessions' behavior. But one thing that really struck me is this reinforced what Comey said, which is that the administration, the Trump administration, is paying no attention to dealing with the fact that the Russians interfered with our election and how we're going to handle that going forward, separate from who did what illegally.
Now, what did you think of what Rosenstein, or Stein, as the Attorney General says? Rosenstein, as opposed to—
Did I say Steen?
Rosenstein. No,
oh,
I do.
Because I got my, you know,
my,
I have
my mistake. But made it clear that he would not fire Mueller unless he had a good reason. That left the barn door fairly wide open, I thought.
See, I think that whole thing was deflection. I think that's throwing what we used to call gorilla dust. I think that they had Ruddy
answers.
They had Chris Ruddy, yeah, Trump's friend, go out and put that into the ether, just because it creates chatter in the system that distracts.
I disagree. I think, Teresa, the reason they're raising it now is because they intend to do it. I think when he gets too close, a la Nixon, they're going to do it. They're going to fire him for the same reason that Nixon fired his people. They were getting too close.
See, I don't know that they're going to fire him. If they do, that would be just even more stunning. But we've seen so much stunning things. But I do think they are aggressively trying to muddy up his reputation.
Or to give him a warning, to say, we could fire you if we want to.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to listen to a warning. But I think all of this, you know, what about the people he's hiring? You saw Kellyanne Conway last night tweeting out about she reviewed the FEC records and two of the people he hired donated to Democrats. And, you know,
They are trying to sully up their
reputation. It's despicable. It's despicable.
Just to build some doubt into Mueller's independence and objectivity. And he's a guy that really is a man of high integrity, and he's respected in the bipartisan respect.
And they said so. Yeah. Their own words.
Right. Well, Newt Gingrich
Right.
Praises him, and then yesterday,
okay, anybody has a dollar, please put it on the table because I'm willing to cover all these bets around this table because I'm telling you now that if they are really challenged by Mueller and it looks like he's really got something, they will fire him.
Well, but I think this is why they're doing it now.
What did you say?
They're getting the word out there, as Teresa says, saying stay within the framework of the investigation. What did the Russians try to do to interfere with the whole election? Don't go after people on the White House staff who may have were close to the president, who may have had too many connections to him. Once you get there, I think you're right, Alan. I think that that's an option. I talked about this yesterday. He has a base, and if he goes and fires Mueller, there's a whole lot of people who say, okay, that's what we got him in there for. And he's taking care of things.
And by the way, let me just say that when you want to indict people for having given a Democrat any kind of money at all, at the top of the list is Donald Trump, who thought that might be the road he wanted to go down. He gets a lot of money.
It doesn't matter. It's just a soundbite that creates doubt in people's minds, and that's the world we live in. Everybody has doubts now.
Right. I mean, just remember that Donald Trump, you know, ascended to the presidency beginning by trying to delegitimize the president of the United States, Barack Obama. He spent years and years.
And the whole system.
And the whole system. So that's his modus operandi, is to try to delegitimize people, denigrate people, tear them down to build himself up. And I think that's despicably what we're seeing with the Mueller situation, is him trying to, or his people trying to delegitimize this investigation.
Rich says, be careful with the White House tapes. I taught sound recording studio for many years at college. Even my beginning students knew how to delete and add material to recordings on the computer, then copy it to a magnetic tape. Do we really believe these tapes won't be doctored by expert engineers and be undetectable? And that's from Rich. That certainly is possible, but 18 minutes.
Rosemary Woods.
Yeah, 18 minutes. That's what
new
it took.
New technologies these days.
Youngsters. Dear esteemed panel, in the hearing yesterday, it appeared as though the Republican line of questioning was trying to create some sort of narrative, while the Democratic questioning seemed to just try to see what actually happened, and that's what Sessions didn't answer. Wondering if you noticed. And that's thanks from Drew, and he said, have an awesome day.
I think that this hearing was much more political than the Comey hearing. I thought there was a real difference between the Republican line of questioning and the Democrats' line of questioning.
Also, the Democratic line of questioning, he said that it was trying to find out what happened. That's true, but also very definitional, I thought. One of my favorite questions, like, what is your definition of the word recusal? What does that mean to you? And looking at the various rules of which, when he wasn't answering the questions, okay, what rule are you citing now? Why can't you tell us? What is the protocol in preparing for this hearing?
Did you read the rule?
I mean, right. He, there was a lot of in the questioning. There was a lot of looking for basic information as to
executive privilege.
Does the president have executive privilege? You don't. How come you can use it then?
Invoke it, right. Sure.
But I think that they were playing the long game here, in the sense that it seemed, and one of them said this, we want to get this on the record. I think that they were trying to get some basic answers on the record.
No, when you say they, you're talking about the Democrats.
We're trying to get some basic fundamental information on the record.
We're going to take a break. Two updates on the story coming out of Alexandria, Virginia. One is that CNN and other news sources are reporting that the attack was a deliberate attack on politicians. That is being reported by AP as well as CNN. Also, we do know that Texas representative, in addition to House Member Scalise, who was shot in the hip, we also now know that Texas Representative Roger Williams, one of his staff members, was also shot during the incident and is currently receiving medical attention. And there is no other information on the staffer's injuries. So we'll find out more about that.
Yeah, we're all waiting to see who did it.
All right. We will take a break. When we come back, we will continue. We have letters and we'll talk more about Jeff Sessions and sort of the ramifications of that right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to the panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, Teresa Bourgeois, and yes, we are following the story regarding the shooting in Alexandria, Virginia, at a baseball practice this morning, where several members of the House, as well as the aides, were shot. Actually, one member, one congressman, shot
two
Capitol Police officers and staff.
50 to 100 shots fired.
So we are monitoring that story, and we'll have an NPR update coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. We are also talking about the Jeff Sessions hearing, which took place yesterday, and talking about that. Alan has some letters, and we will continue our conversation as we go through the letters.
Okay, here we go. The last 50 years has seen the wholesale dissemination of the Democratic field of candidates. What would the American political scene look like if the Democratic champions were not assassinated? Gabby Gifford, before she was destroyed by Gerald Loeffner, would have been the first woman president. Well, we don't know that, right? We just don't know that.
We do not know that.
And do you think it's fair to say, from Philip, that if the Democratic champions were not assassinated, okay, you've seen the wholesale dissemination of the Democratic field of candidates. Don't you think that's a little much?
Yes. I mean, I certainly think it would be correct to say, and, you know, we've just passed the anniversary of RFK, Robert F. Kennedy, being shot. If he hadn't been shot, that would have changed history. We don't know exactly how, but it would have changed history dramatically.
Yeah, I think we always.
And I don't want to. I'm in no way suggesting that Gabby Giffords was not a wonderful congresswoman, but.
Yeah.
You know.
I think we have to be very careful about overreaching.
Right.
Because it hurts the argument.
And I will say that Gabby Giffords has been amazing in how she has. The work that she has done since being shot is just remarkable.
As an activist.
As
an
activist
advocate.
Around gun issues.
Yes.
Regular writer Daisy writes.
Hi, Daisy.
Here's what I believe. Did Russians interfere in the elections? Yes. Were Trump and his people involved in this? Probably not. But is Trump involved with Russia in another way? Yes. Follow the money. And Sessions' defensiveness is all connected to something he knows. And what he knows is not legal, my theory. But how about this part of your theory also? We had Donald Trump during the campaign talking about the release of the leaks and how he believed in the leaks. Now, to some degree, Daisy, doesn't that put him in league with the Russians by saying, I hope that they'll leak all they want, right? Doesn't that indicate maybe some prima facie understanding of what the Russians were doing? Anybody? Mike, you're making a face.
Well,
Joe, you're making a face.
Well, I mean, just because he was saying so many outrageous things that I don't know how much. There was one line in that.
Here we go again. Here's what I believe. Did Russians interfere in the elections? Yes. Okay. Were Trump and his people involved in this? Probably not.
Well, we know that's not true.
Yeah, we
already know that Flynn and Manafort were.
Paul Manafort.
Right. The question is, we know that there was interaction. The question is, was it criminal?
And then the next line is about.
It's not that it happened. We know it happened.
Well, because right, and then the money, but there's also.
And Sessions' defensiveness is all connected to something he knows, and what he knows is not legal, my theory.
Well, that's, the thing I wonder is how many of these people actually do know sort of the whole picture as
right.
to who is connected to what.
That really struck me yesterday listening to Sessions, is that does he even know the details of what Manafort or Flynn might have done? How much does he know? But he's complicit by his presence. But I also thought it was striking that he talked about the fact that he knew going in that he was probably going to have to recuse himself from the Russia situation. Well, then why did he take the job? That's malfeasance.
Malfeasance. Why did he recuse himself is even a more important thing.
Well,
and that's probably.
Well, but if
he had a weird line, I'm sorry, but he had a weird line there about I recused myself from the very beginning because I never asked questions, I never looked at any records, I never read any reports,
anticipating that I was going to have to.
Back to your thing about malfeasance.
It's malfeasance.
Well, okay. Well, if you're not able to do that part of the job, then why are you doing the job?
Right. If you cannot focus on one of the biggest threats to our democracy, which is a Russian interference and cyber attacks and such, as the head of the FBI, why did you take the job as head of the FBI?
Because it was a really good job.
Well, I think he wants to go back and be senator, too.
Yeah, I think it's too late for that, Jefferson Beauregard to return to the...
But the other thing, and I want to ask Malcolm Nance about this tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
right? Yeah. So Steve Hall, who I don't know, but he's a retired CIA chief of Russia operations. He's a CNN analyst. And Mike McFaul, who I do follow, the former U.S. ambassador to Russia. Both of them said... Hall says, spoiler alert, I don't think Kislyak is the big player in this. And then McFaul says, retweets, I agree. In terms of, you know, there's so much focus on Kislyak, who's the Russian ambassador to the U.S. Mm-hmm. But Manafort and others were involved with a lot of other Russians.
Yeah, but let's remember that this is not exactly an unbroken chain of command with the Russians. You know, it goes right up the pole.
But the focus was on, did Sessions talk to Kislyak? You know, and
No, I hear you.
And also to Alan's earlier point about Trump's involvement of this, of what he knew, when you put Jared Kushner into the mix,
oh my gosh,
and his meetings with Kislyak and what he knew, and as part of the transition, I mean, that gives it a whole other.
I also think
you have to understand that we have a president of the United States that calls this whole Russian interference thing fake news, says it didn't happen,
a witch hunt, a hoax,
and a witch hunt and a hoax, right? Exactly. And you know, is it because he's regarding it as a distraction to his getting his program through, and he's just trying to kill it? Or is it because there are going to be other Flynns within his administration, and he doesn't want that to happen?
I've got to interject about Kushner, because the AP story came out yesterday afternoon. A company that owns buildings with Donald Trump and the Kushner family is a finalist for a $1.7 billion contract to build the new FBI headquarters. So,
is that bad?
Oh, for God's sakes. We're not a realty trust. One of three finalists to build a replacement of the FBI. And then if they do get the contract, not only do they get to the contract to build a new headquarters, then they get to take over the site of where the FBI is right now, which is this prime spot
in
Washington, D.C. Are you kidding me?
Hoover's name finally come off of the building?
Probably, yeah. Mm-hmm. But the conflicts of interest are astounding on this. Okay, I'm sorry.
All right, here we go. Panel, it is ironic, but the shooting today will not change any minds. Those who believe in the Second Amendment tend to believe that no controls are necessary. Bad people will find a way to do bad things. The other position is that guns have no real purpose in civil society. Both positions are intractable. No one incident or someone shooting an intruder proves anything to folks who believe the opposite, and that's from Dave.
I believe that there are middle grounds on the gun issue if only we sought those.
When you say how many bullets when you argue
you
incessantly
do not.
That there should be no limit on how many bullets can be in an assault rifle or its kind, because I know somebody said, well, Alan, that wasn't really an assault rifle. There is always that question of, is there ever something that would be that middle ground you're talking about, Teresa?
Well, the counter to this argument has always been, but if the teachers at Sandy Hook had guns, would that have happened? If the people in the mall had guns, would that shooting have happened? So if
all the research has refuted that.
Of course. So in this case, when people were just out playing a ball game, were they supposed to
and
be
there were two police officers
there,
there
you know,
with
I don't
guns.
Know. It will be interesting to see if that line of defense comes.
Yeah. I mean, the public gathering of members of Congress will have more protection around them. And you know, that's an unfortunate reality, but that's going to be one of the outcomes. At any time that there's a group of them going somewhere outside of that ring around the Capitol, that's very well protected. There will be now.
Nurse Carol writes to us, considering how much Mr. Sessions was not able to recall yesterday, perhaps it's time he retires. There's a diagnosis.
Who is that? I'm sorry.
Nurse Carol.
About Trump? Is she talking about Sessions?
I cannot recall.
Yesterday. Perhaps it's time he retires. There's a diagnosis associated with that much forgetfulness.
Yeah. No. look, him appearing yesterday, Sessions appearing yesterday in a public forum was intended for him to go in there and express righteous indignation at the suggestion that he would have had anything to do with Russian interference and pretty much stonewall after that. That's exactly what he did. And right. I think that was a good tactic. I think it you know, from the perspective yes. of the White House, it gave meat to the base, and it ticked off the opponents, and it just keeps everything divided. It really didn't achieve much.
Right. I think it's a lot of noise in the system, but for me, if you sort through all the noise, what you see is the administration not focusing forward-looking, dealing with the problem of Russians interfering with our election.
They're in denial.
We're going to take a break. At the top of the hour, we'll bring you the NPR news and find out the latest coming out of Alexandria, Virginia, and the shooting there this morning during this baseball game that we were just discussing. Making up the panel this morning, Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, and Teresa Bourgeois. As always, we welcome your letters. We'll get to those, more of those, in just a moment. panel@wamc.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We have a lot going on, and we are getting to as much of it as we possibly can. We welcome your letters, panel@wamc.org. Our panel this morning, Alan Chartok. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Hey, Joe.
Mike Spain, the associate editor of the Times Union, joins us this morning.
Good morning.
And we also welcome, celebrating Flag Day today, we welcome Teresa Bourgeois, who is...
She brought a flag in.
...a communications consultant. She brought a flag in. She put it up on her mic stand, and we're ready to...
Celebrate
yes,
Flag
you.
Day.
And I'm informed she has American socks on.
I do.
Also.
I have my
yes,
American you have flag,
flag
socks
on. It's Donald Trump's birthday today.
It's Donald. Harriet Beecher Stowe's
birthday. Today's Donald Trump's birthday.
Yeah. It is Donald Trump's 71.
Yes, and yeah. It's also my brother John's 74th birthday. He was here first.
Happy birthday, John.
let's break out the ice cream for Donald Trump. He likes ice cream, doesn't
Two scoops.
He?
Well, maybe he'll get three today and some chocolate cake.
Oh, yeah. Make him happy.
Anyway,
all right, let's go to other...
Benedict
Alan,
Arnold
go those?
Sure, whatever you think, Joe. Okay, here we go. Thank you. Regarding Trump inviting the Russians to hack the DNC, one thing that's clear about Trump is that he doesn't have any impulse control and basically says what he wants, even if it has the potential to cause problems for him. If there was collusion between Trump's campaign and the Russians and Trump knew about it, it is truly implausible that Trump would... Is it truly implausible that Trump would just blurt it out? Thanks, as always, Chris from Albany. I think you make a point. But the other thing about having impulse control is that's not so funny as your finger on the button.
You have to have empathy and understanding and
no,
intellect.
But I'm talking about the
right.
nuclear issue.
But,
yeah.
Right, but that requires also not just impulse control, but true leadership requires empathy and intellect. But the other thing is, so much of this discussion is all about Trump as opposed to all about the American people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what's getting lost here.
Now, I predicted this letter, and sure enough, Mike satisfied my itch here. Alan, spelled wrong, no American owns an assault rifle. Only military can have automated weapons. I can make a .22 caliber, the smallest bullet in the world, look like a machine gun. The term assault weapon is just an attempt to take all semi-auto weapons away. What's next? Assault pistols? Assault shotguns? Wait a second, Mike. If you go back in the tape, and I hope you will, I said somebody's going to write me a letter saying this isn't truly an assault weapon. I was right, and you're the guy who wrote the letter. But there were how many bullets out of that gun? 100 bullets or something like that?
Well, more than 50, I think, was at least.
So 50, 100 shots fired in a very short amount of time. That's not a handgun.
What would Rosemary say to Mike right now about biting? So moving right ahead, James says, love how liberal Dems are so obsessed with the disruptions of outsider was elected. For the next 4 years, grin it and bear it. Trump has no ill will against the USA. Obama did not consider his deeply flawed policies. And that's from James, PhD.
I don't understand that letter.
Well, probably because I read it wrong.
Because he's saying that an outsider has been elected coming in to clean the swamp,
yeah,
and,
the,
you
yeah.
know, we're all a bunch of liberals who
sure.
were trying to hurt his agenda. But let's just be clear about what his agenda is.
Oh, I see. Trump has no ill will against the USA. Obama did, considering his deeply flawed policies.
So what's the health agenda? Why, if the Republicans are so proud of their health care bill, why are they putting
it
together?
We're going to get to the president's own comments about his health agenda.
Right, but why? Why is it being
done? We're
going
to get there right now and say that he said that the House bill, which he touted in the Rose Garden, was mean. Now,
which he pressured Republicans to come together. He brought Republicans down to the White House in advance, like he did yesterday with Senate. He brought House Republicans down, and he pressured them into voting for this bill, to go out on a limb and vote on this bill with the idea, okay, we can fix it in the Senate.
So basically, he put a noose around their necks because they voted for it. Now they have to take the garbage that they are getting for having ruined so many, or trying to ruin American health care. Now Trump uses all of his popularity and everything to get them to go for it. The Senate isn't going to do it. And now he's criticizing them for saying that his bill was mean.
So I rather use the analogy of put him out on a limb and then cut it off, because I don't like the news.
Well,
I'm an anti-violence person.
Arguably, the Republicans in the House will say, and have said, many have said, that we know it was flawed. I think John Faso acknowledged this. We know
it
was flawed when we voted for it, but we wanted to push it along so that the Senate could then deal with it, and they may fix some of the flaws, and et cetera, et cetera. And the idea was we needed to repeal Obamacare.
In all due deference to Faso, what a bunch of nonsense.
What a bunch of nonsense.
If you think about it for a second, so you take a flawed bill, you pass a flawed bill, and now you say, okay, let's take our flawed bill and send it on to the Senate. Why not pass a fair bill or a less mean bill the first time around?
Well, they would argue that it's part of the process, that you got, I mean, you know, the perfect is the enemy of the okay, I guess, or something.
But they skipped key parts of the process. Like, you draft a bill, you have subcommittee hearings, you have full committee hearings.
Yeah, but they had the mission accomplished banner up in the Rose Garden. That was cool.
They got it off the boat.
That's right.
Instead of three,
I don't know if you heard yesterday the report that the president says that he has accomplished more in his first 100 days than any president since FDR. Oh.
Which is one of the biggest lies.
Oh, I thought it was in the history of mankind.
Oh, well, that too.
That trip around the Glory Fest, trip around the room, was just frightening. But the bottom line is, this bill, if you know, people are concerned about their health care right now, they should be. This bill is being done in secret by all accounts. Mitch McConnell is going to try to bring it to the floor in short order.
Before the 4th of July.
Before the 4th of July. Yeah. It will have no hearings. If
were there any
so
women
concerned,
on the
eight
Senate
men
committee?
In a room. Okay. Eight men
and
in a room.
Yet, and yet, well,
do women have different kinds of health care needs? I'm just asking.
But the other people.
But they just talk so much. You can't have women involved because they talk so much. They might ask questions about the substance.
The other people.
Interrupting you, Alan. We talk so much, we crazy women.
Well, no, the thing is, you should interrupt.
I was doing
me
that on purpose.
Because that's what we have fun with.
No, I was kidding.
And that's the way we do it here, people. Okay.
We have like 5 minutes, and I want to get two more topics.
Okay,
I want
go
to
ahead.
Get to.
Go ahead.
So if we could just hold on. The one thing that also Democratic lawmakers suing Trump, handing the president another legal challenge. Members of Congress say President Trump is violating the Constitution by profiting from foreign governments without congressional consent. The more than 190 Democrats want a U.S. District Court to make it stop. Do they have a shot in hell of doing that?
Well, by the time it gets to the top, probably not, but they certainly are making the point.
Yeah, I think we've gotten an education about the word emoluments.
Well,
I don't know who knew that word
before.
Well,
NPR is having a tough time with that one. One of the correspondents was talking about emoluments, and the other was talking about emoluments. I'm not quite sure.
I think you want to talk about an anti-corruption clause in our Constitution. In today's terms, it's basically an anti-corruption clause.
And I think just like it's important that the state attorneys generals file these lawsuits and such on the climate issue, I think continuing to raise this issue about conflicts of interest is very, very important.
Absolutely.
I mean, look at this thing with the FBI.
Well, that's
headquarters.
The issue.
You've got to keep raising it, and at some point, you need to deal with these precedent issues.
Okay, Joe, you had another one.
I wanted to go to the Megyn Kelly story. Megyn Kelly defending Alec Jones interview. NBC is being pressured to cancel the interview. The ratings for the program is so far without this Alex Jones has not been great.
Again, 60 Minutes, the most important hour in
so for people who don't know who Alex Jones is.
I would add, well, two things. One is that again, 60 Minutes reruns, number one, it's not doing well. Also, Alex Jones is a controversial talk show host. He does have the ear of the President of the United States. He is also a denier of Sandy Hook denier, believing that it was all a hoax.
Can you imagine the goal of that guy to say to those parents that it was a hoax? I mean,
and as a result of that,
he deserves some very bad things to happen.
Well, one of the arguments is that by bringing him on to primetime television, Megyn Kelly is elevating his presence and giving him a forum.
Well, isn't he?
And here we are talking about him. Just talking about this identifies him to people who may never have heard of him. But he is a guy who has been. One, he's a Sandy Hook denier, which is insane and despicable, and he has been complimented by the President of the United States, who regards him as a good friend and a good patriot.
Along with Bannon and all those other guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's about all you need to say, I think.
I think that there is a interview that one could do with him that would expose him for what he is and give the American people a better understanding about him. It's not clear to me in any way, shape, or form that that's what Megyn Kelly intends to do. And if I were
CBS, it's already happened. It's on tape, I guess.
If that's that's not the nature of this interview.
And he's already saying he didn't get a fair deal, so he doesn't want it. Alex Jones, he doesn't want it on the television.
But if I were CBS 60 Minutes, who's counter-programming, I would do a counter-programming and bringing in these Sandy Hook families who have to deal with the implications of all these crazy, you know, these people that get stirred up by what Alex Jones says and then writes to these families whose children are dead and harasses them in letters, in emails, in phone calls. Can you imagine these people? Their children were shot and killed, and now because of Alex Jones, they have to deal with this incoming.
And that is part of the point.
Tragic.
They are saying, the family members are saying, that this man has made their life a living hell for the last 4 years. And to elevate him to any level, even worthy of an interview, is a disgrace. Many advertisers are pulling out, as I mentioned. NBC is having an emergency meeting today to discuss. Megyn Kelly came out yesterday and said that she is intending to move on this and continue and hope to air the interview. She did say, and I thought her quote was a good one, of saying that because, and you said this, Mike, because this man has the ear of the president, it's important for people to know who he is and what is out there, because if they're out of that bubble, they don't know.
She said shine a light on him.
Shine a light on him.
Well, it's good to know who's influencing our president.
Would you talk for a minute about, the White House connection to this? I mean, the press credentials.
Right. He has press credentials. He was given very early on when they started the new credentialing process to have alternative, mostly conservative talk shows via Skype and so forth. That was one of the shows. And the president has been a guest on that program several times. I believe not as president, but while he was running for president.
And praises him.
And regularly praises him. So
a man who says that the Sandy Hook shootings did not happen, that it's a hoax of family, that the families are making up.
Right. And there's an argument. I think you said it earlier when we were off the air, Alan. It creates this issue of false equivocation. If you get him on and you give him time, it's almost like equal time for something that is so
Holocaust.
Horrific. It's like, right, giving a Holocaust denier equal time or a spokesman for the Nazis said this. You know, we don't do that because it is historically a fact that Sandy Hook happened.
But isn't it? It is a bit complex. I'm not supporting Megyn Kelly in this case, but I do think that you need to bring attention to this behavior. The question
is
how.
20 seconds. Go ahead.
Which I say, fire in a crowded theater. You know, there are limits.
I think there are limits. I don't know.
I just don't know how to do it.
I
think
it's a complicated
issue. Question.
I wrote NBC a letter. I don't know. It just seems like enough is enough, but. Whatever. Okay. All right. We're out of time. Thank you very much. Stay tuned. We'll find out what's going on, and we'll be right after this.